And I am glad I'm saved on this beautiful November the 4th, Daylight Savings Time, Sunday morning. It's well with my soul. I appreciate that good singing. Our brother Danny sung, "Who Am I?" And I believe Sister Carolyn sung, "Without Him." And I don't have to worry about neither one of them. I know Him. Let me give you a good analogy here. How many in here knows President Donald Trump?
How many here knows him?
How many knows him?
We know
him. There you go. Phyllis done got ahead of me there. I was going to say, how many of you know him personally? And there wouldn't be as many hands go up. Well, that's kind of like what I'm talking about Jesus. I know him personally. I talked with him this morning.
Amen.
Had a good conversation
Amen.
With him. Right. Yeah. Had some good fellowship with him. Had a cup of coffee with him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, every day goes better with him. Amen. But Carolyn sung that song, "Without Him." And I'm glad I don't have to worry about being without him.
That's right.
And Brother Danny sung that song, "Who Am I?" And you know, God told David, by the way, he did tell him this before he messed up.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what he told him, Rita? He said, "I'm going to make you a sure house." Mm-hmm. David went in and sat down in the house of the Lord and said, "Who am I, Lord?"
Yeah.
"Who am I?" Well, that's us. He made us a sure house. We don't understand it. He didn't understand it. Nobody does. But he fixed it before it got broke. Then he fell in with Bathsheba and had to pay a terrible price for it. But you know what? He still had a sure house. He even went on to say that even though that little baby that was born to them that God had to take because of David's terrible sin, that the soul would never depart from his house, David said after he heard that the little child had died, he said, "Where he is, I'll go." See, he had a sure house. Makes a difference.
Yes.
I don't like dying. I'm glad Jesus came down and conquered death. Took his body through death, destroyed him, had the power of death, said, "By the way, give me the keys." He's got the keys of death and hell. I'm pretty happy about that. I don't like dying. And a lot of these people think they've made agreement with death. Somehow they're going to escape through the medical means or some kind of cut my head off and freeze it and put it on another body. They've got another thing coming.
That's right. That's
oh
right.
My.
Amen.
You'd be surprised what some of the things infidels think up to try to get out of the dilemma of death. One thing to do with it, and that's just bring to Jesus, get it forgiven, get eternal life.
That's right. Amen.
We'll be taking our text today out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I got me a new Bible. Boy, I'm pretty happy about it, but I haven't got it broke in real good yet. And I can't find things as fast in it as I could in my old one. But I do love my Scofield Study Bible. And it's a real blessing to find another one just exactly like it. Makes me pretty happy. I'll just tell you right now, I'm real happy. I had bought several trying to find one like it, and every time there was something a little different about it. But this is just exactly like my old one. And that part I like, because most of the time I find something in the Bible, I remember where it was at on the page, and I can, even though I have trouble getting through this Bible, I remember where it was at on the page. Good to have Brother Denny with us this morning.
Amen.
And they drove a long ways to be with us here this morning. And good to have them here. And is it Diane? Is that right?
Sue.
Sue? Okay, I wrote it down wrong here. I wrote down Kenny and Diane's son. Oh, okay. I said Kenny. It's Denny. Yeah, no wonder. All I had to do was read my own writing here. But
I answered about
good to have Denny.
I answered about anything.
Me too. Good to have Denny and Sue with us this morning. And how far do I have to drive?
It's probably a little less than 100 miles.
Wow. I drove yesterday to a place where I got to take a truck to, and I put my old dumb on zero because I wanted to find out how far I was going to drag this old truck, and it's 30 miles. And they drove over 100 miles. Is that right, a little over 100 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah, they drove over 100 miles just to be in church today. Hey, man,
yeah.
I know God's going to bless them real good. I just want to be around, maybe get a little up myself. You ever see a dog go up and roll where another dog's been, just try to get somebody on him? Well, that's what I want to do. I want to get a little of that on me. I'll tell you, boy, it's good. Everything about God is good. Nothing be refused. You don't have to question it. One thing that's good about God is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we have the truth. Not just the pure truth. But Jesus said, John 17:17, "Thy word is true." Titus 1:2 says it's impossible for God to lie. And also in Hebrews 6:18, God who cannot lie promised for the world was. I'm just glad that God is true. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the life, and the truth." All right, let's get to preaching now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll start our reading in verse number 9. Let me say this before I start preaching. I may forget this. I bought my good loving wife for 43 years. I bought her a brand new dishwasher, best thing I ever did. I paid for the nose for it. I put it in yesterday, and she's washed everything in the house. I should have done it a long time ago. We had dishes piled up everywhere, and I put a new pump on that old one, you know, and I fixed the seal around the door, and it just make office rack that wasn't ever did really clean anything. And I walked by, and I thought, that thing's running. You can't even hear it. And I noticed there wasn't a dish nowhere to be found. You told me, I mean, I might have paid $700 for it, but it was worth it. Yeah, her price far above rubies. I'm still making payments on her. Been married to her 43 years, and she still says, "How much money you got?" Got 40 off of me yesterday. That was all the cash I had on me at the time. Oh my. Okay, let's get to preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. I love my wife. Anybody can put up me, you better believe I love them. Now Paul here writing the church in Corinth, and this is a tough message. I ain't got no choice in the matter. I'm just a messenger boy.
Amen. That's right.
And I actually was going to preach. There's another half to this message. I was going to preach them both together. I didn't realize how big the message was, so I had to break it in half. But I'm preaching today on the good about gay. And there is some good about it. And you bear with me here and you'll understand why I said that. You notice I didn't say the good about being gay. I said the good about gay.
Yeah.
And the other half of that is the bad about gay, and I'll preach that next Sunday. The good Lord be with it. But we're going to read down verse 9 to verse 12. Paul here talking to church in Corinth, and he does mention this subject matter of gay here. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Question mark. Be not deceived." That ought to be an exclamation mark right there. Biggest problem in this world is people are deceived.
Yeah.
They not only don't know the truth, they don't even want to know the truth. No, they'd rather be deceived than to know differently than what they've been told. But Paul says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, that's one type of sin, right, nor adulterers, and that's worshiping false idols, right, nor adulterers, that's another type of sin, nor effeminate, that's the third type, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. I think that about covers everything. That probably covers bestiality and everything else. I don't know. But anyway, he's talking here about sexual sins in this one verse. He goes on to say, verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the positive about what he just said. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now he goes on one step further in the positive, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful. Oh, wait, now let me read this right. I want to read the Word of God right. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, I'll stop our reading right there. I may comment on some more. I'll let God determine that. And I'll go to God in prayer. We're going to be preaching on today the good about gay. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, we ask right now, Lord, that you would just anoint us from on high. Clear our mind, Lord, that we might have clarity of thought.
Yes.
Help us to speak, Lord, with great clarity of speech. I don't want to stutter. I don't want to, Lord, get sidetracked. I pray you help me to stay focused. I pray you help me, Lord, deliver this message, Father, in such a way that it might do some good. Maybe to someone, Lord, that needs some help. Maybe to someone that doesn't know this subject very well. I pray, God, Lord, you help me not to do no hurt, but I'd rather, Lord, be inclined to help anyone, Lord, in this matter, this subject matter about gay. Lord, it's plaguing our world. It just seems like, Lord, it's not been that long ago, that it was distant, and now, Lord, it's at the doorstep. Help us, I pray, whatever, Lord, becomes of this message, Let glory, honor, and praise be given to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
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 The good about gay. Like I said, I'm not preaching about the good about being gay. I'm talking about the good about gay.
That's right. Amen.
A lot of y'all don't know this. You ever heard of being gay? Did you know that guy was gay that made that? Did you know that? I didn't know that. I got that kind of later on in life. I did find out that being gay, he's gay. And I didn't know that. I may have even used some of that. I don't know, but he was gay. Listen, ain't nothing really that wrong with being gay. What's really wrong about being gay is just at least admit it, do something about it.
That's right.
And I don't die that way. Let me say that. I certainly can't throw no rocks. We're all just sinners. Some of us are sinners saved by the grace of God. Some Amen. Of us are sinners that need to be right. saved. Amen. But there's a lot of good that I can say about gay. And this message will probably be labeled hate speech. Samson's first wife, he gave a riddle to these Philistines. And his wife accused him of hating her, that she might get the answer to this riddle, because they said, if you don't get that answer, we're going to kill you and your family and end up dying anyway.
Yeah.
But she said, am I not right to say that you hate me because you withheld this riddle from me? And he told her the riddle. She went and told them. They told Samson the riddle. He gave them the exchanges of clothes because of that, and talked about them plowing with his heifer and everything, and they burned them with fire. Because I tell you what, buddy, you don't realize a lot about this Bible here is more to it than meets the eye. But this message will most likely be labeled hate speech. Here's why: because a lot of truth will be told here today about
Amen.
Being gay,
right.
and they don't want the truth. Why don't
right.
they want the truth?
Right.
Well, Brother Mitchell, let me just tell it like this: because they're living a lie.
Right.
Somebody's living a lie. Don't want you to tell them any otherwise.
Right.
They don't want you to wake them up. They just want you to leave them alone.
Yeah.
They don't want you to come over there and say, I'd like to talk to you a little bit, because they're not open to it, and yet they need it. They're being consumed in it, and yet they'd rather sit in the house, burn to the ground, than have somebody come in. The Bible said of some have compassion, hating even the flesh spotted by sin or whatever in Jude there, verse 23. Are some pulling out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh? You just got to go in and pull them out. They might not like it, but I'll tell you what, they need it.
Yeah.
Some people's living a lie.
That's right.
And you know, I almost spent a little while here. I didn't really mean to get this deep into this. There's a lot of laws being passed right now to make you somehow bake a cake that you don't want to bake.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you know them people that come to that Christian husband and wife, their sweetheart bakery? Brother Bennett, did you know that they had microphones on them so they could record the conversation so they could have enough evidence to sue them for $300,000+? And they had to declare bankruptcy and lose their job because someone sought an occasion against them so they could follow this gay agenda.
Yeah.
And somehow,
right.
I mean, bullies are what they did. They bullied them.
Yeah, that's
right. Go a long ways to seek an occasion with them, Brother Danny. And they wanted trouble. They didn't want a cake.
No.
They offered to make them a cake, Rita. They said, we just don't want to put the message on there. We'll make you a wedding cake.
Yeah.
So you can't compromise.
That's right.
With people like this, they won't listen to any reason. They said, we'll bake you a wedding cake, we just don't want to put the message on there. And that wasn't good enough. That's why they recorded them. Joanne? See, the whole objective was to be a bully. You remember Daniel said when he knew the law was passed that you're not allowed to pray no more, he just wouldn't open up his wand and pray. It got him in trouble, but it's the right kind of trouble. He got thrown in the lion's den. They made pretty good pillows. He slept pretty good that night. And the next morning, the king come out with a loud voice and said, Daniel, is your God able to deliver? He said, live forever, O king, my God is able.
That's right.
They throwed them accusers in. They didn't even make it to the bottom. Well, that's kind of like this, what I'm talking about. These people are living a lie.
Yeah.
They need someone to break rank and tell them the truth.
Right.
I know they don't want to hear it. They need it, though.
That's right.
They're living a lie, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
Now, this is a pretty rough message. I'm going to try to be nice. My pastor said, Eddie, if you're unkind, you're the wrong kind. But they're living a lie. They don't want to know the truth. You know, you kind of see a little bit of this dilemma in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, when Satan said, "Yea, hath God said." Now, here's important, is because Satan throws this out here. Here's Adam and Eve living by the Word of God. They're not about to eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, because God said the day you eat it, you're going to die. And Satan comes up, contradicts the Word of God, and says, "Yea, have God said."
Yeah.
He's questioning the credibility of what the Bible says, and that's what they do. They say there's no Bible, there's no God, there's nothing to stop us from doing whatever's right in our own eyes. I tell you, I don't care how right it is in your eyes, if it's wrong by the Word of God, there'll be a price to pay for it.
Amen, that's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now the devil just very simply rocked their apple cart.
Yeah,
that's right.
How'd he do it, Brother Eddie? Well, he attacked the Bible. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They attack the Bible. I'm glad I got one, amen.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, God said, "My son, let not my words depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for their life to all define them, and health to their flesh." Right. I'm telling you, I'm glad I got a Bible. The path of the just, it has a shining light, a shining more and more under the perfect day. I'm telling you, His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light.
Amen. That's right.
I'm glad I'm not in darkness no more.
Yeah.
The devil said, "Ye have God said."
Yeah.
That's what you call a curveball. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Satan questioned the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, Brother Ed, Satan corrected the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's what they do. If they can't get you through questioning, then they'll change it.
Yes.
Amen. So when he said that God does know that when you eat, you'll be as God, he thought, you know, that he could alter what God had said, and it did have an effect upon Eve, because she looked at that tree like she'd never looked at it before, and she looked at it and designed it as a tree to make one wise. But even though he corrected the Word of God, he didn't change the Word of God, Brother Daniel.
Right.
God said, "The day you eat of that tree, you're going to die." Satan said, "Yeah, yeah, God said." He let a lot of people question their Bible reader.
Mm-hmm.
He'll try to give you another one for it.
Yeah, they will.
They say, "Let me give you this one, but this is more modern than that one."
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said this book's written older than the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. How far do you want to go back?
Right.
I know this thing was translated to English in 1611. Yeah. How far do you want to go back? I mean, in the beginning it started with the Word.
That's
God spake, it stood fast, He commanded, it was done. How far do they want to go back?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. I mean, we got just a little bit more ground to stand on than we give ourselves credit for.
Amen, that's right.
I'll go back as far as they want to go back, because they can't go back no further than that.
That's right.
In the beginning.
That's right.
I mean, before anything was, it was.
That's
he took nothing, made everything.
Amen. That's right.
That's how far back our
Bible goes.
Amen.
It started with the Word.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Then Psalm 68, verse 11 says, "The Lord gave the Word. Great was the company of those that published it." And somebody printed it, and I've got a copy of it.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you right now, other than other countries, it's precious to them. I'm telling you, the book of Samuel, it said the Word of God was precious in those days.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because it wasn't no open vision. Here's Samuel, this little boy here,
Amen.
Had a child that's went there and cried, said, "God, I sure would like to have a son.
Yeah.
If you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." The greatest prophet ever stood for God was little Samuel that God granted unto Hannah. She weaned him and gave him back to God.
Yeah.
Oh, Satan questioned the Word of God. Satan corrected the Word of God. But Satan didn't change the Word of God.
Never.
Now listen, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "By one man sin entered into the world."
Yes.
He didn't change it. That's how sin got in.
That's right.
Satan, here's innocent Adam and Eve. Their eyes ain't been opened. They're innocent. Somebody said, what's the age of accountability, Brother Eddie? I'll tell you what it is. It's the age you know you're doing wrong. Yeah, him to do it, to do good, to do it not, him to sin. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It can be at any age.
That's right.
You can have someone that was born, maybe they're born with an issue, and we call them retarded or whatever, and they never know the difference between right and wrong.
No.
There is. Well, Adam and Eve, there's one of them good Baptist waspers flying around. I wrote, my pastor wrote in his Bible one time, he said there was wasps in the church. He said it was the most loud it was. And he said somebody got up and killed it. And I said, Lord, thank you for the wasper. Said he saw more movement over the wasper. And then over here, but listen, what was I for the wasper got on the scene there? I think there's one over on my bench over there. No, we're going to have real service today.
Right.
No, that's an awful.
Not.
Anyway, getting back to what I was saying there, the Bible, if we didn't have a Bible, we could be innocent. Jesus came down there and he was the Word made flesh. And he said, had I not come and spoken to them, they wouldn't have no cloak for their sin.
Right.
But now I have came.
Amen.
Now there's no covering but the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You see, everybody wants an excuse. So here's what they do. They attack the Bible. They attack what God says, but they don't change it. Adam and Eve didn't escape what God said. God said, Adam, of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat. Well, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Now he got that first hand from God because he was formed first. Out of the dust of the ground, God breathed his nostrils. He became a living soul. Afterwards, Eve came into the world. She got it second hand. You ever get anything second hand?
Yeah.
We can start right here. I can whisper it in Rita's ear. And I can say, Rita, there's a wasp in here. And she turned over and tell Joanne. She said, watch it. There's a wasp in here. It's done stung somebody. She turned over and she said, we need to leave. And I said, oh, boy, this wasp stings up. But anyway, I don't know. I believe it's Lent. Is that him? Well, that's him. All right. Hey, I'm wasp proof. He's behind you, Jerry. Turn on the window there. Going up the curtain. All right. Hallelujah. We have service now. Anyway, look. Adam was first formed. He was first informed. Then Eve was made, and she got it second hand. I'm glad we can all get the Word of God first hand.
That's right. Amen.
Because God allowed His Word to be published.
He is the Word.
He allowed it not only to be in my hand, but He allowed me the privilege to read from it.
Yes.
And receive instruction. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. I'm glad I have a Bible.
Right.
Anyway, here's why I'm saying all this. Adam got it first. Eve got it secondhand. She was a little weaker than Adam because she didn't get it firsthand from God. As a matter of fact, she didn't even quote it exactly right. For God has said we should not eat of it, neither shall we touch it. She kind of stumbled a little bit in the answer. But anyway, Adam, he didn't eat the seed. That's what I'm trying to tell you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it talks about Adam was not deceived. You know why he ate of that apple? Let me correct myself. It doesn't say it was an apple. I hate it. We've seen some TV commercials. It's always an apple and a snake. It may not even be a snake. I'll be honest with you. It became a snake after the curse. It may have actually walked. I don't know. But anyway, after the curse, it slid on its belly and eaten dust the rest of its life. So let me correct myself there. Let God be true. It may not have necessarily been any fruit we even know about, period. Let me put it like that.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. Kind of wish I hadn't gotten into that. But Adam was not deceived. Let me get back to that. Do you know why Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
He said Eve told him to do that.
Out of love towards his wife.
Mm-hmm. His wife's going to die.
Yep.
His bride.
Yep.
You know why that second Adam, he who knew no sin became sin for our sake?
Yeah,
we might be made righteous to God.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't go to live neither.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. The motivation was love.
Yes,
right. Now, don't get me wrong. It didn't make the Word of God none effect. They both, their both eyes were open.
Yeah.
And Adam wasn't deceived. Yeah. So he just loved Eve so much, he said, I will live without her. Christ wasn't deceived. He loved us so much, he came down here on a mission.
Yeah, right.
Undo the first mistake of the first Adam.
Yeah, that's right.
That last Adam. He come down here with the cure.
Yes,
our condemnation.
Right. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I'll just tell you now. They might not want the truth, but they're living a lie.
Yeah.
They need the truth. Adam wasn't deceived. 1 Timothy 2:14, I said 15. His bride was, and Adam sacrificed himself for his bride. Christ, the last Adam, he wasn't deceived neither. He sacrificed himself for his bride. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Let me preach real quick the good about gay. Even in our text right here, if you'll notice here, Paul said in verse 11, and such were some of you. You can come out of it. I know they say you've been born that way. I say otherwise.
Right.
I say Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, I think it's verse 11, says this one thing I know, God made man upright, but they've sought out many inventions. People tell you they've been born gay. Not only are they lying to themselves and lying to you, but it's just not true.
That's right.
There's a lot of things been propagated that are not true. And I want you to know, God made everything right. He put His blessing on it. He said, it's good. And then along came man, and the first thing God said about man says, not good.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, I'm going to try to help him.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll see him help me. Maybe that'll help him too.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing God said about man. It's not good for a man to be alone. He said, I'll go down and make a help man for him. Man need help. Amen. But anyway, you can come out of it, glory to God. You can be saved from it, glory to God. And notice, such were some of you, you can be saved from that lie, that sin of homosexuality.
Yeah.
Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, God says this, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
Yep.
There's three sexes mentioned right there.
That's right.
One of them is the sex of marriage. And I think that's the reason that they want to marry. I think they can somehow say, well, your word says the marriage is undefiled. Or the marriage is honorable and all, the bed undefiled. Maybe they're going to do that. I don't know. I know one thing, they've really missed the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
But adultery is unfaithfulness in the marriage. And a whoremonger is someone, you know, that doesn't get married and has what's called like fornication.
Yeah.
They have affairs, and not affairs, an affair would be attached to marriage. But you notice the effeminate not mentioned in that Hebrews 13:4 context. There's three sexes mentioned there. The marriage sex, the adultery, which is unfaithful to your husband or wife, and then the whoremonger or the fornication, which is without marriage. But God didn't mention that in that verse. And I'm going to get to that here in a minute. This is a tough marriage, tough message.
Yeah.
But you can come out of it. You can be saved from being gay.
That's,
you know, a lot of people...
That's right.
Well, let me try to maybe put this to that. They say, I can't help it. I'm born that way. I was at work one time, and I heard this song, because they play Wovo at work. And I heard this song, Take Me to Church. I think it's named, but Take Me to Church. And I thought, man, that's pretty good. And I didn't realize it was a song about being gay. And it said, they told me I was born this way in that song. They tell it. You see, They're believing a lie, they're living a lie, because someone went and said, that's just the way you are, and nothing can be done. Well, I'll tell you right now, God said some of them were effeminate. He said, such were some of you, and you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of Jesus Christ. You can come out of it, is what I'm trying to say. It may take me a week and spit all that out. But the gay movement is mentioned in the Bible. This did not proceed from the minds of mortal men. This is not a fad. This is not an opinion. This is not a subject matter that gay has to be. Now, this is pretty rough part of this message. I'm going to turn there because I can't quote all these verses. But in Luke chapter 17, there's quite a bit there mentioned about being gay. Believe it or not, I couldn't believe it myself. Luke 17. We'll start out reading verse 26. It says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Now, Jesus here is giving a discourse on the end time. And he says, it's got to be like it was in the days of Noah before the Son of Man returns.
Yeah.
There was homosexuality before the flood. There was homosexuality after the flood.
Right.
How bad was it,
right,
Brother Eddie?
Amen.
Well, it was bad enough that a father pronounced a curse upon his son, Ham.
That's right.
That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Jesus says it has to be. He can't come back till it becomes like it was in the days of Noah. He said they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. That's always kind of caught my eye. Until the day that Noah, and I say Noah, I'm going to go ahead and pronounce as Noah, that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, and that's full-blown homosexuality, he said they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Yeah.
Now here's why I said homosexuality is even mentioned here. In that day, when the Scriptures are fulfilled, Jesus, knowing all the things written about Him were fulfilled, that's when He went to Calvary.
Right.
In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that's in the field, let him likewise not return back. He says, remember Lot's wife. She looked back. Don't look back. He said, it's time to leave out, not look back. Look at verse 33.
Amen.
Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it.
Amen.
I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. I didn't really connect the dots till I realized that he's talking about like it was in the days of Lot.
Right.
Like it was in the days of Noah.
That's
I didn't right. really realize, kind of like I mentioned this morning, Brother Benny, about the gold mine. You never know how much gold you got till you dig a little bit. But anyway, he says, two men shall be in one bed, the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. That's kind of a double curveball. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, whithersoever the body is, hither will the eagles be gathered together. That's the battle of Armageddon there.
Yeah.
He talks about where the angel called the birds of the air and said, come eat the flesh of kings and captains, and the blood run for, I forgot how many miles to the horse's bridle. That's quite a few, I think 7 miles or something like that. A lot of blood. But you notice there two men was in one bed, two women grinding together. I never did really connect a dot on that until I got to looking up some of the scriptures concerning this message here. This gay movement's mentioned in the Bible. The Bible itself mentions about it will help fulfill the prophecies of this Bible.
Yeah.
It's one of the signs of the times.
Amen.
Gay has to be. The rebellious gay movement is actually ushering in the end of the world and the coming of Jesus. And I'll tell you right now, he can't return till it runs its wicked course. Even the Antichrist is gay.
Yeah, that's right.
Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. Let's look at that.
Yeah.
No sense of being in a hurry here.
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist. Now, one verse that I'm going to read. Let me read a few more. Let me start in verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman.
Yeah.
Now that's a curveball right there.
Yes, sir.
Antichrist, you know, he's not interested in women. Ain't that something? I realize that Paul told us in Thessalonians there, about he was going to exalt himself above all that's called God. I understand that, but I didn't realize he wasn't going to have no desire towards women. That's quite a statement there.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't really teaching, but I hear just a minute here, I wish I had my old Bible now. Well, I had it highlighted here. Be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by, I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters as from us, as if the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That's talking about the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who what? Opposes and exalteth himself above all that's called God and is worshipped, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He said, remember ye not that when I was with you I told you these things?
Yeah.
You see, that lines right up with Daniel about the Antichrist.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, but it is a lot. The Antichrist, part of this gay movement. Now here's the good about gay. You can come out of it. The other good about gay, it's causing the Bible to be fulfilled. It's causing the end time to come.
That's right.
There has to be a falling away first before the day of the Lord comes, Brother Mitchell. But here's another thing good about gay. Jesus loves them. He died for them. The Bible talked about God Himself being kind to the unthankful.
Yeah.
Cause it to rain upon the just, upon the unjust. He don't send out a bolt of lightning. He stretches out a nail-pierced hand.
Yes, He does.
He says, I sure would like to help you.
That's right.
Any fool that turns down the help of God deserves whatever they get.
That's right.
I'm glad that I'm not God, but I wish I was more like Him, Rita.
That's right.
He loved.
Amen.
He loved the ones that nailed Him to the cross. He loved the one that stuck the spear in His side. He loved the ones that lied and made fun of Him, that plucked His beard out, that beat Him beyond recognition. He loved them. He loved His disciples, but He loved His enemies, and He loved them unto the end.
Yeah.
And He prayed for them and said,
right.
Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do.
Yeah.
The good thing about God is Jesus loves you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, He does.
I went to a maximum security prison one time, Brother Ed, with Mike Gibson, a man I mentioned this morning.
Yeah.
Mike Gibson, him and his wife, very talented. They do a good job singing, and they sung last Sunday night at Bethel Baptist Church at Pastor Appreciation. When they got done, I talked to Mike. I said, how you doing, brother? He said, doing pretty good for an old man. And me and him, we're both friends of this group called Sound Doctrine. And he's closer to him than I am because he used to play instruments with them. Brother Jerry, I asked him, I said, how's Sound Doctrine doing? He said, they broke up. I said, what do you mean they broke up? What happened? He said, they broke up over doctrine. I said, Sound Doctrine broke up over doctrine? Or gone now. But anyway, that's kind of the way this is. No matter. Oh, that's true. That ain't a joke. Sound Doctrine broke up over doctrine. Doctrine causes a lot of churches.
Yeah, that's right.
You remember the saddest verse in your Bible, John 6:6:6?
Yeah.
This is a hard saying.
That's right.
And from that time, many of his disciples left him and followed him no more. That's a sad verse, John 6:6:6. It's probably got some significance.
Yeah.
To the fact that it's 6:6:6, it's also probably got some significance to the fact they followed him no more. See, it was a hard saying. It was hard doctrine. Jesus Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And that's making
right.
I ain't
that's
eating
right.
him, I ain't drinking his blood neither. But he's talking metaphorically, spiritually.
Right.
You see, when we take the Lord's Supper, he broke the bread and said, this is my flesh.
Yeah.
Right.
I put that
little,
it's kind of like a little cracker, I put that in my mouth. It's symbolic. He said, this dude remembers me, Brother Mitch. I don't want to forget.
Right.
He was broken so I could be fixed.
Exactly right.
We take that little oak, we use grape juice over here. That fruit of the vine that he said.
Yeah.
Not like the cabinets, you know. We go get that, what is it, real wine. We just drink the fruit of the vine, grape juice.
Right.
But you know what? That's not as bad as missing the whole meaning of doing it.
That's right.
But anyway, when we drink that, he said, this new remembrance of me, this is my blood, which was shed for you.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't ever want to forget he had to be broke so I could be made whole.
Right.
I don't ever want to forget his blood had to be shed so I could be
right.
spared.
That's right.
Yeah. But he loves them, Brother Ed. I can't understand that.
No, me either.
I have a hard time loving some people. I told my granddaughter, my oldest one, so I said, you're hard to love, honey. She is hard to love. She'll milk you like a cow if you ain't careful. But, it's hard for me to relate to her. Our generations is so far apart.
I try hard.
Jesus must have that same dilemma. It's hard for him to relate to these that hate him.
Right.
Brother Mitchell. Because he says, my only sin is I love you. I love
that's
you.
Right.
You know what? They hate him.
Right.
And they want to somehow live a life apart from him. Boy, that'd be a miserable life, Kirby.
It would be.
I don't want to live a life apart from him.
No.
Be in this world without God, without hope. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, when God wanted to give you all the blessings, all the good blessings of Abraham. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. Fear not, Abraham. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. They want to turn all that down just so they can live a wicked, rebellious life and say, I am what I am. I was born this way and nobody's going to change that. God can change it, amen. He said, sight was some of you, but you washed, you're cleansed, you're justified, thanks to Jesus.
Amen.
I'll tell you, buddy, I'm glad God loves them. I may have trouble loving them. Make no mistake about it. Paul told King Agrippa, when King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, he said, King, I wish you was like me, except these bonds. He was bound.
Right.
Paul was free bound.
Amen.
And the king was not bound and he was not free. He said, I wish you was free as I am.
Amen.
Even bound, he was still free.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
God loves him.
Yeah.
Brother Mitchell. He loves him.
Right. He does.
Oh, the love of God.
Amen.
The length and the breadth and the depth, the love of God. Here is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us.
That's right.
Gave His Son to be propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
He didn't go so far as to say God is love. We wouldn't even know love without God.
No, that's right.
But the good thing about Gay, Sister Carolyn, is God loves them. I got to remember that.
Right.
I know the bent. I know what the problem is. I know they just need Jesus.
That's right.
But you got to work with what you got.
Right.
Somebody said you'll do a whole lot more with honey than you will with vinegar.
Yeah.
We just got to somehow pray for them. We got to somehow get through to them. I know the devil's got them deceived. I know the devil's got them in a hard-to-reach place. But don't give up. The good about Gay is this. You can come out of it.
That's right. Amen.
It's bringing the end of the world. We're about there.
We are.
Let me overstep my bounds here just a little bit. Does anybody remember what color the White House was in the last administration? Hello? Does anybody remember?
Rainbow colors at one time.
That's right. Who put that on there?
Obama did.
Did y'all know he's gay? Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
Did you know his wife's a transvestite? Did you know that? See what I'm talking about being deceived?
Yeah.
The last words of Joan Rivers, is that right?
Yeah.
Joan Rivers?
Yeah.
Last words. she spoke about Michelle Obama. She turned around and said she's a tranny, and he killed her.
Yeah.
You can't get away with it. Make a statement like that on public TV. It's still on there. Go on the internet. Go on the internet. Type it in. What Joan Rivers said about Michelle Obama, and then you tell me about whether she's joking or not. She turned around. She just left the White House, fellas. And the reporters asked her what she thought about it. She turned around and she's pretty blunt. She said, Michelle's a tranny. We bought right into that. They painted my White House. And I'm not racist. But I don't want it rainbow colored.
No.
I ain't got no problem with painting it blue or orange.
Right.
Silver.
That's right.
Don't paint it rainbow color.
No.
This thing's, it's got political. It's moved to where it's dangerous now. You can get trouble now, Brother Denny, if you got a bakery. I can get trouble now for preaching. They call me hate speech.
Yeah.
Listen to hate and
yes,
truth.
Yeah.
Lock me up. I'm going to preach the truth.
That's right. Amen.
They're shutting churches down. They say, you can't say that!
Yeah, that's right.
I'd rather lose my head like John the Baptist and have to lace on my underwear and be afraid to preach the truth.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I just ain't going to do it. God called me to preach. Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, he said, I'll receive reward. He said, blow unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
I'm going to preach. Yeah, you're right. That's the right kind of trouble. Four men lies then. I'll be like Daniel. I'll make the best of it. I'll get one over for a pillow, one for a cover, sleep in between two, put one of them on guard. Listen, if you get in that kind of trouble, it's the right kind of trouble.
That's right.
God loves them.
Amen.
I've got to get that through my thick head. God loves them.
Yeah.
The enemy's not them. The enemy's the one that lied to them. The enemy's the one that's got them blinded. Amen.
Yep.
You've got to remember that.
Yep.
Eddie Wade used to be like that.
Yes, sir.
Hank Williams sung the song. I saw the light, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I saw the light. Listen, I saw the light one day.
Yeah.
Things look different than the light.
Yeah,
I really do.
Amen.
I'll stop there. Good Lord, I could never shut up on this subject. Lord, I do humbly thank you for counting me faithful and putting me in the ministry. I do humbly thank you, Lord, for even your help preaching a difficult message like this. Lord, I have no malice in my heart at all. I would to God, Lord, that you somehow could use me, Lord, to help some lost person, whether they're gay or not, find you and get wondrously and gloriously saved. I have no axe to grind. I have no motive other than the love that saved me. I wish it upon them. But I pray, God, Lord, this message could be received in the right way. I pray, Lord, it wouldn't offend. I pray, Lord, Father, rather, I pray it would pour into oil and wine and wounds could be healed. I pray, God, you'd use it like an arrow, Father, to make sure it hits the target. I pray it couldn't be misconstrued. I pray somebody couldn't take it and make it say something that I didn't say, that the Word of God declares. Whatever, Lord, comes out of it, Lord, if there's any praise or glory, let it be given to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. And I was at a house this week. This is how it goes. I was at a house this week, and I was invited there. And I don't know whether these people are saved or not, but I think they need to be saved. I saw a lot of tears. I saw a lot of things that made me believe that they might need to be saved. I just kind of testing the waters there a little bit. And the lady of the house talked about her younger brother died of AIDS. And he was in the military and he went to France. She was not really trying to give a lot of details about this, but he just fell out. And she was pretty emotional about talking about him dying. I said, well, she said, I hope he made it to heaven. I said, we'll never know. Be a lot of people there. We won't expect to be there. Be a lot of people. They won't be there. We expected to be there. Heaven would be full of surprises.
Amen.
But she finally said that he was gay, homosexual. And I said, well, there's hope for him. And there's hope for all.
That's right.
The thing is, that hope's in Christ. If you die without Him, you sealed your fate. But if you die in the Lord, praise God, you got heaven to look forward to.
Amen.
And it will be wonderful there.
Right.
Brother Jerry.
Right.
But it's hard to have a conversation and that not come up in the conversation. It's hard at the workplace. We have at work now, we got certain rules we got to abide by, keep from offending people.
Amen.
Where I work at, it's deep. I really don't need to elaborate on that. But where I work at, I'm just wondering if they hire anybody that ain't effeminate. But Brother Jerry, you come up here and get us, and Sister Sharon, get us an invitation. And I don't know how the Word of God went to you. I'm just a messenger boy. I deliver the message. And next Sunday, I promise you, probably won't be as nice as this one here was. Because I'm going to preach next Sunday on the bad about gay.
Yes.
And that's got to be told too. We don't want to tell half the story. We won't tell it all.
Amen.
But if you need to come, they're going to sing a verse of invitational hymn. And maybe you got somebody in your family that's got, that's affected by this subject. Maybe you got somebody in this family. Brother Eddie, will you pray with me about a family member? Because they're affected by this. Look, there's no greater or lesser sin. Sin is lethal in the smallest dose. James said, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. There's nothing good about sin.
Right.
Look, they make jokes about sin. They make songs about sin. They make movies about sin.
Amen.
Don't laugh at sin. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin.
Yeah, right.
If you need to come, I'll pray with you. Amen. But you come.
149, first verse, blue book.